You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
I just wanted to remind you something. I just had this stirring on my heart. I'm going to finish my series that I was doing another time. But everybody say, Jesus is.
Jesus is.
One of the things that I found out, if you can find out who Jesus is, you can find out what Jesus does. Everybody say, Jesus is. Again, I said, if you can find out who Jesus is, you can figure out what Jesus does. There are a lot of people confused today about who Jesus is. They're very confused today about what God does. There are people that are confused. Is God good? How many of you in this room know that God is good all the time? I said, God is good all the time. I say it like this all the time. We teach our 4 and 5 year olds that God is good, and they got it figured out. It takes a preacher to mess that up. I said, it takes a preacher to mess that up. Because the New Testament, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Everybody say, God is always good. He is always good. Now, there is somebody who's always bad. John 10:10, Jesus came and he said this. He said that I've come that you may have Zoe, or the God kind and quality of life. The Amplified says the good life until it overflows. But he also said there's a thief. There is an enemy. There's an enemy of your faith. There's an enemy of your life. There is an enemy. And he's real. He's not just in movies. He's real. And Jesus called him the enemy. He's the devil. And the Bible says he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that steals, anything that kills, anything that destroys is of the devil. Listen, if you can figure out who Jesus is, you can figure out what Jesus does. And so I just want to remind you of who Jesus is so that we can celebrate today what Jesus is doing in our lives. And this is what I found in 25 years of pastoring this church. I found that people who can get a hold of revelation knowledge of who Jesus really is, they can grow in their life and they can change in their life and they can receive all that he is. I was brought up in a denominational church and I was told that sometimes God is mean. I basically had a picture of him with a baseball bat waiting to beat me when I messed up. And I had a fear of him, but it wasn't a holy and reverent fear. It was just a fear of him because I was taught wrong. And so I'm telling you that God is good. And Jesus, the Bible says this, if God gave you Jesus, what would he ever withhold from you? The Bible talks about God. His hand is open. God's hand is not closed behind his back, and you, through prayer and faith, have to pry it open. He's a good God. Everybody say, Jesus is. Let me tell you who he is. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you are John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said to them, but whom do you say that I am? See, you got a lot of people telling you who Jesus is, but really what he wants to know is, who do you say he is? Because until you know who he is, until you can say who he is, you won't be able to receive from him. Everybody say, Jesus is. And then I love Peter's answer. And he said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everybody say, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who he is. He's Christ, the anointed one. Christ is not his last name. Christ identifies who he is. Christ is, he's the anointed one. He is the Son of the living God. And then I want you to know this, John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said, he talks about being the Messiah. And the woman at the well said, I know the Messiah is to come. And Jesus said, I'm the one that's speaking to you. In other words, I am the Messiah. Everybody say, Jesus is. the Messiah. What does that mean? That means he's the Messiah, means the coming one, and he's the anointed one. And Jesus identified to the woman at the well and says, I was the one that you were expecting to come. I am the Messiah. If you can find out who Jesus is, you know what Jesus does. The other thing he said about himself, or we find out about him, is that he is the Passover lamb. Why is that important? Well, in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says that. It says that he is the Passover lamb. John saw him coming, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which does what? Now listen, there's no other way that you can get rid of your sin except by the blood of Jesus. That's why he says he's the Passover lamb. Because the Passover lamb was found in Exodus, where they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost so the death angel would pass over. Jesus is forever the Passover lamb. Everybody say, Jesus is the Passover lamb. And listen, you can't get good enough. You know how people say to me, well, you know what? I enjoy this church thing, and I'm going to get myself together. I'm going to get myself together. I'm going to get myself together. And then I'm going to serve God. You can't get yourself together. Quit trying to get yourself together. What are you, a puzzle? Yes, you are. But you're not the glue you need. Jesus is the only one that can put your life together. Come on, don't raise your hand. I know it's not even January. But have you ever tried to get your life together? Have you, you know, I'm going to do this. My big one, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Who am I kidding? I'm going to lose 40 pounds. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to read my Bible. But I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit doing that. I'm going to quit. You need help to quit. And Jesus is the Passover lamb. And you can't get your life together without him. I said you can't get your... Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Passover lamb. Say it one more time. Jesus is the Passover lamb. And when you know he's the Passover lamb, you know he's the one that takes your sin. He's the one that takes your sin. And because he took your sin, when you receive him as Savior, you become righteous. In other words, you know, I say this all the time, but you know, a lot of people get stuck in, because we've been taught religiously, they get stuck in the sinner mentality. Were you brought up where they said to you, well, you're just a sinner, saved by grace? Anybody brought up that way? And how many know that sounds religious and holy and even awesome to say, but it's really not true about you anymore after you're born again. You're no longer a sinner because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because Jesus is your righteousness. Jesus is your righteousness. Jesus is the one that makes you righteous. Jesus is the one that makes you holy. And the blood of Jesus is the one that sanctifies you. Amen. Jesus is the Passover lamb, and he takes away your sin. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 8 and 11, Jesus boldly announced, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am he that was and which is to come, the Almighty. And then in verse 11, he says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the beginning and the end. Now, some of you in this room need to begin. And then some of you need to understand that he's also your end. And so no matter where you are in the middle, if he started this work in you, he's going to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. If you can find out who Jesus is, you can find out what Jesus does. And if he is the Alpha and the Omega, and he said that he is, if he's at the beginning and he is your beginning and he is your end, then what? Then everything in the middle he's got. Because he didn't just start a good work in you, he wants to complete a good work in you. Amen. You're complete in him. He's the Alpha. Everybody say, Jesus is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's the first and he's the last. Amen. Come on. If he starts something in you, he'll finish it. So no matter where you are in the middle, you don't just have to hang on. You know that there is an end coming, and it's a good end. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just going to tell you today about who Jesus is. Because if you know who Jesus is, you know what Jesus does. And if you know what Jesus does, then you can receive that and your life will change. Another thing I want to look at is he said about himself. And we like to say it this way, Jesus is the soon coming King. How many believe we're living in the last days? If you hear on Pastor Rhonda's Wednesday nights over, you know, this first part of the summer, she's been talking about how we're living in the last days. And it's very clear by the signs of what the word says, we're living in the last days. So if we're living in the last days, then we know that we have a soon coming King. Jesus said this, you probably heard this at funerals, you know, where Jesus said, you know, talking about your mansion. Are you born again going to live in a mansion? Wow, just give me a little cabin over the hilltop. Well, that can be your second home, but the Bible talks about that he's gone away to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house, you decorate your house with furniture. God decorates his house with mansions. We're all going to live in Father's house. I don't know if you understand that. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You decorate your house with furniture. God decorates his house with mansions. Daddy lives in a big house. Just think on that for a minute. And he said, if I go to prepare you a place, I will come again and receive you. He's coming again. In Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, as Jesus departed, the angels were standing there. And they said, what y'all looking at? This same Jesus, who you see departing, he's going to come in like manner. Amen. Everybody say, Jesus is a soon coming King. He's a soon coming King. He's my soon coming King. And therefore, if I know that it's going to cause me to receive, it's going to cause me to live different, it's going to cause me to act different. Amen. If you can find out who Jesus is, you can find out what Jesus does. And who he is to you. You know, one of the things that I'm grateful for, you know, when I grew up in church, you know, when I went to church, and I'm grateful my mom and mostly is my mom, you know, had me in church. And I did learn some things, and I got born again at the age of 12. I backslid, you know, from the time I was 16 to 23, seven of the worst years of my life. And, you know, I didn't really have a strong Bible foundation. Unfortunately, wasn't really taught doctrine or really wasn't taught the Word of God. I was taught the stories of the Bible. I knew Noah had a boat. Sometimes I wish I could get on that boat. And, you know, but didn't have any real answers. Then when I came back to the Lord in my early 20s, I started getting answers. And I found out who he really is. And I really found out he was a right now God. In other words, I figured out that he would help me right now. It wasn't just about enduring until I died so I could go to heaven. I found out he wanted to help me right now. I found out he wanted me to help. He wanted to help me live right now. He wanted me to live a free, happy, good, abundant life. So I begin to find out who Jesus is. And I just want to remind you, a lot of you know this, but there may be somebody in this room hearing this for the first time. And I want you to know that no matter if it's the first time you heard it or the 1,000th time you heard it, Jesus is. And if you know who Jesus is, you know what Jesus does. And if you know what Jesus does, you can receive it. And one of the things that Jesus is Jesus is our peace. Listen, if you're alive, if you ever turn on the news on once a week, you know that we all are living in a mess. You know that lots of stuff is going on in the world. At any moment in time, something strange could be going on. You just never know. And so how do you stay stable in this crazy world? Jesus is our peace. He said this, he said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Let's just look at this one. Let's look at John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 27. Everybody say, Jesus is my peace. He said, my peace I leave you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because Jesus is your peace. Now, he didn't just give you some kind of peace. He gave you his peace. The same peace that he walked in the earth. How many of you know he wasn't easily agitated? He didn't come into the apostles and throw, if you just picture him coming in, after a hard day, plopping down in the easy chair, looking at the 12 and saying, I'm so sick of these Pharisees and Sadducees. I'm so tired of all these people. They come and they want me to feed them all the time. Can't they just bring a sack lunch? What is up with all these people? Now, how many know, aren't you grateful God's never in a bad mood and Jesus was never in a bad mood? Listen, he was all God, but he was also all man. He was tempted in every ways, just like you are. So he was tempted to get irritated. Now, he did get angry one day and turn over the money changers' tables in the temple because they were turning God's house into, they were thieves. And he wasn't going to put up with no thieves in what was supposed to be a house of prayer. But I'm telling you that Jesus walked in such a peace, and he wasn't just giving you and I any kind of peace, not kind the world gives. He gave you his peace. Everybody say, Jesus is my peace. Hallelujah. In John 16:33, it talks about in the world how you'll have trouble. It talks about, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, cheer up. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, cheer up. Why do we get to be cheered up? Why do you and I, why can we be happy all day? Why when you sit on traffic in Highway 72 or at Redstone Arsenal, why can you put a smile on your face? Why can you cheer up? Why can you go to work tomorrow and be happy when everybody else is miserable? Why can you do that? Because you've met someone. Because you know someone. Because he lives on the inside of you. Amen. He said, these things, the word of God, I've spoken to you that you might have peace. What kind of peace? His peace. In the world, yeah, you're going to have trouble. Yeah, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, cheer up. Come on, tell your other neighbor, cheer up. Come on, cheer up. Come on, put a smile on it. Come on, be happy. Be full of joy. Why? Because Jesus is your peace. Glory to God. He's also the healer of the broken heart. Man, I needed him for that one. Did you understand? I needed him for that. I need him for all these. But life can mess you up. I said, life can mess you up. People can break your heart. Usually the ones you give the most to. Usually the ones that are closest around you. What are they getting? When we talk about heart, we're talking about your soul. We're talking about your emotions. But Jesus in Luke chapter 4, 18, 19, one of the things he said, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the healer of a broken heart. Listen, if you're in this room and your heart's been broken, there's only one person who can fix it. Just one. I'm not against counselors. I'm not against therapists. But I'm just telling you boldly, there's only one person. Just one. And if those people don't point you to this one person, you can't get it fixed. Because they're going to tell you this. Well, your time will heal all wounds. Time has never healed anything. Time is not, because see, if time could do it, the Bible would say it. Just hang on. Time's going to fix it, baby. Just let it go a little bit. And the time that passes, you'll forget all about it. I know people who remember things from 40 years ago. Time has not fixed it. Time has made it worse. I'm telling you, there's one person who can fix your broken heart, and his name is Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus is the healer of my broken heart. Come on, he can fix it if you'll let him. I said, he can fix it if you let him. The other thing Jesus is Jesus is the good shepherd. I said, Jesus, come on, you all know this one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in, and he leads me beside Amen. Are you grateful for that? The Lord is a good shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? He protects you. He watches you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Amen. You're a cup. And he's about to fill you up until you overflow. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And therefore I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because the Lord's my good shepherd. Everybody say, Jesus is my good shepherd. I mean, I got so much to tell you. I got to hurry. Hallelujah. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. He is the way maker. I'm stuck on that song these days. I need him to make a way for me in some areas of my life. And he is my way maker. He is my bulldozer. Amen. Come on, you get Jesus on your situation and he will go in front of you and bulldoze away. Amen. He is a way maker. Where there is no way, he makes a way. Where it can't be done, he makes the crooked places straight. He brings the mountain down. He brings the valley up so that you can walk on a real highway. Hallelujah. Come on. He is a way maker. There's such an anointing on that in this church right now. He is a way maker. He's a way maker. He can fix it. He can make it right. He's a way maker. He is the truth. Hallelujah. He's the way. He's the truth. Jesus is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. He makes a way for me. Glory to God. He's a light for me. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is Zoe. He is the God kind and quality of life, and he is that to you. Everybody say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, he is my way maker. I could just stop right there and run around the room. He's my way maker. I am counting on him to make a way for me in my life. I'm counting on him to go ahead of me and fix it, make the crooked places straight. I believe he's doing it for some of you in this room. If you'll believe on him, if you'll ask him, if you'll look to him to make a way for you, quit trying to make your own way. Come on, quit trying to make your own way. You know, Jim talks a lot about this, and you know, I know this is America. We all believe in self-made people. If I could just get a reality show. And I think some people in our area have tried. Yet we are famous for stupid stuff sometimes. But if you'll quit trying to make it on your own, and make Jesus Savior and the Lord of your life, getting him involved in your career, in your work, everything you do, he'll make a way for you. And then if he begins to make a way for you, then your children have an easier way. And it is the heart of every mom and dad who really love their children for them to do better than we as moms and dads did. And yet, the only thing you can really do to make sure that happens is to give them a legacy of the Word of God. That's why, you know, one of the things about our church, one of the things, if you know, we've had the same thing, but the Lord gave it to me. And if the Lord gave it to me, he never told me to change it. So that's why we say we're a church that's raising a generation from infants to adults to know him. Because I really believe this. If you can know who Jesus is, you can figure out what Jesus does. To know him and to make him known. Because when you figure out who he is and you start receiving that, then you'll want to tell all your friends and family. Because he's so good. He is so good. Everybody say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Come on, just for fun, say, he's my way maker. Woo, glory to God. And then, you know, I want to leave you with these. Because, you know, he'll help you. So I want to tell you who Jesus was. He's the Messiah. He's the soon coming King, right? And so there's that side where, you know, It's kind of the, he's the son of the living God. Kind of the bigger picture things. Then I wanted to tell you just by his, you can figure out his nature by figuring out who he is. He's a good shepherd. He's one who makes a way. He gives you peace. He's the healer of your broken heart. So that side of him. But then I just want to get down into your individual life. And most of you know this, but I just want to remind you that he cares about every part of you. You are a three-part being. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you live in a body. And God cares about every part of you. You know, what I remember growing up thinking, well, you know, if you get saved, you get to go to heaven. And there was nothing in the middle for me. It was get saved, go to heaven. So, you know, if that's all there is to it, why not just get saved and literally go to heaven? But there's that in the middle part that I figured out that he really cares about. That here on the earth, he wants you to have days of heaven upon the earth. I figured out that he really does care about my body. He does really care about my soul, not just my spirit. And he made a way, because if you figure out who Jesus, I know you're gonna leave with that ringing in your head. If I can figure out who Jesus is, I can figure out what Jesus does. And he boldly proclaims these things, and we find these things out. Everybody say, Jesus is my provider. Aren't you grateful? Hallelujah. One of the things, you know, I think sometimes people look at our church and they say, well, what's going on down there? They're building buildings and they're giving away shoes and they're sending missionaries all over the world. And, they must be rich. And my answer is, we're rich. Because Jesus made us that way, because he is the provider. And you're not scared about it, because today people don't want to talk about money. But you know what? Jesus wanted to talk about money, and he wanted to talk about it so much that he decided to become poor so that you could become rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, it's by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he became poor so that you could become rich. And at chapter 8 and chapter 9 are talking about money. And I know it's not popular to talk about it on Sunday morning. But, you know, around here, I like to tell you the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And if I don't tell you this part of it, you're going to miss it. It's not about, it's about what Jesus did. And if he did this, then he wants you to know about it. And he cares about every part of your life. He does, you know, we say it like this. Pastor Rhonda said it one time, and I've just kind of adopted it, and I'm going to give her credit for it the last time today. And then from now on, I'm going to take credit. But you don't have a sacred life, a Sunday life, and then the rest of your life. In other words, Sunday morning is sacred and holy and set apart, and you're one kind of person. And then come Monday morning, when you go to work, you're another person. You have one life. God doesn't separate your sacred life or your holy life from your secular life. You have one life. And guess what? If you won't kick him out on Monday when you go to work, he'll work with you. He'll help you. I used to be an accountant, and I would run into accounting problems, and I figured out Jesus understands accounting. Oh, Lord, he got me out of some many big messes. One time, I first started my job, and I did something, and I didn't know much about computers, and literally, I did something, and it was the whole accounting for the hospital that I worked for, and it should have been deleted, and I didn't know much about it. I didn't know much except, oh, God, help me. And I got up really early, and I think I even beat the security guards in. I mean, I was there early, and if you knew me, you would know what kind of miracle that really was. And I got in there, and I prayed, and I stuck it in, and it should have been gone, because everybody of my friends that I called last night said, I'm sorry, Mark, it's gone. You should don't ever do that again. I was like, well, don't tell me that. And I put it in there. Woo! I had me a Holy Ghost fit before I knew what a Holy Ghost fit was. Because it was there. And my boss came in. And she's like, why are you doing here so early? Oh, just thought I'd come in early today. She's never known. Unless she's watching right now. Ha ha. Cecilia, it was a miracle. He's a way maker, a miracle worker. Because everybody told me it was gone. Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, that was a coincidence. Call it what you want. I don't care. It was there. I attribute it to God. Hallelujah. But he'll help you in every area of your life. Everybody say, Jesus is my provider. The Bible says that in 1 Peter 2:24 that Jesus took stripes on his back so that you could be healed. Jesus cares about your physical body. It is the will of God that you be healed. Everybody doesn't get healed because everybody doesn't receive their healing. But make no mistake about it, it is the will of God to heal you. Everybody doesn't get healed because everyone doesn't receive their healing. But make no mistake about it, Jesus is the healer. And it is the will of God. It is the will of God for you to be healed. Everybody say, Jesus is my healer. Galatians 3:13 and 14 says that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Everybody say, Jesus is my redeemer. What is redemption? He brought you, bought you from something to something. Amen. And then everybody say this one, Jesus is my deliverer. Luke chapter 4:18 and 19 said again that Jesus came to preach deliverance to the captives. No matter what you're going through, no matter what prison you feel like you're in, Jesus is your deliverer. And you all know this one, but I saved it for last on purpose. Ever say, Jesus is my Savior. Even though we're put it at the last, it's really the beginning, but it's really the ending. Everything revolves around this. Until you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross for your sin. He took stripes on his back for your healing. He became sin so you could become righteous. He took your poverty so you could have his wealth. He made a great exchange with you, but you've got to receive the exchange. Savior, salvation is so much more than just going to heaven. It's about doing well. It's about being protected. It's about just every area. It touches every area of your life. It touches healing. It touches prosperity. It just touches everything. I'm grateful for being born again at the age of 12. But like I said, I walked away from God until I started learning and understanding who Jesus really was. I couldn't receive everything that he had for me. And so he is Savior. He's also the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God. And he says, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm so grateful. Jesus cares about us. I want you to see this. Spiritually, he cares about you in your soul, emotionally. I know what it's like to be tormented in your mind. It's so good to know that Jesus is the deliverer. Spiritually, he wants you righteous. He wants you filled. He wants you changed. Jesus, everybody say, Jesus is my Savior.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.